This is the Big E Sports Show
on the Sports Map Radio Network.
From the Sports Map Radio Studios, here's Elissa Walker Campbell.
Hey, we've got you covered. Everything you need to know for week 14 of the NFL season, all the predictions and the picks. Welcome back, Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. I am Elissa Walker Campbell, and mark it down. Join us every Saturday, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, and we are powered by Progressive Insurance. For a job you'll love, visit progressive.com/careers. Well, we are delighted to have back with us to discuss all the intriguing matchups in week 14, and that is Cindy Boren from the Washington Post. Hello, Cindy.
Hi, how are you today?
Hey, I'm doing great. This is certainly an exciting time of year, and the NFL schedule is always packed with high-profile games, none bigger than Sunday night with the Eagles and the Cowboys. What are you looking forward to the most in this very special matchup?
I think it's going to be interesting to see if the Cowboys can really play well against a team that's got a good record. You know, they've beaten up on teams that have been lost. Be charitable and say rather poor, and I think it's going to be intriguing to see how they do against the Eagles. I actually think they'll do very well. I would pick them to win if I had to, but I think that's going to be interesting, and to see if Dak Prescott can stay as hot as he's been.
Yeah, we're going to talk some about Dak here momentarily, breaking it all down, the Eagles and the Cowboys, and I'm just wondering, you know, what has changed about the Cowboys, because they are on a four-game win streak after beating Seattle 41-35. And just help us understand who the Cowboys are here in the month of December.
It's been rather surprising, to be honest, a little bit.
Uh-huh.
I mean, certainly you know that they have talent. There's no question about that. But Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb, I think there was some question, you know, way, way, way back in the offseason about, you know, parting with Ezekiel Elliott. But I think most people felt that Tony Pollard was going to be more than enough at running back. It's also interesting to me to see Mike McCarthy calling the plays and how much better they've been on offense with McCarthy calling the plays. You know, I mean, Mike McCarthy had a lot of success with Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay.
Yeah.
Even though Nathaniel Hackett was there. But I find that fascinating, too, how much better he's been.
Well, and I also wonder, you know, as far as Cowboy fans, we kind of feel like you got to pump the brakes a bit and manage expectations, because the Cowboys this time of year, they've let us down. So it's been a little bit of a roller coaster ride. So what should our mindset be? Give some advice to all the Cowboy Nation.
Well, if I were Cowboys Nation, I would say don't panic until you get to the playoffs. you know,
yeah.
Once you get to the postseason, then you can start worrying and biting your nails. A win this weekend, boy, oh boy, how huge would that be? You know, the owner doesn't really need anything to get a little, to pump him up any more than he is already, but that would be just enormous. And, I just think probably from now, given that they're in the NFC East, given that either the Cowboys or the Eagles is going to win that division, you know, that one of the two teams is going to win the division and get the automatic berth. The other one's going to be a wild card. So I would probably be a little bit relaxed if I were a Cowboys fan.
Hey, we are so glad you're with us on this Saturday afternoon. You are listening to the Big E Sports Show exclusively on Sports Map Radio Network, going one-on-one with staff writer from The Washington Post. That is Cindy Boren. Give her a follow on social media at Cindy Boren. And just a moment ago, you were talking about Dak Prescott. He truly is playing out of his mind. What has changed?
You know, I really think it's a difference in play calling. And again, not to put too fine a point on it, but they haven't played the toughest schedule, and it's going to get a little harder here with the Eagles, and then they play in Buffalo. That will be tough. We'll see how Buffalo fares against the Chiefs on Sunday.
Yeah.
I mean, Buffalo, you know, Buffalo may really have not a lot to play for by the time the middle of December it gets here. Then they play the Dolphins. You know, the Dolphins can be somewhat suspect as well. And the Chiefs beat them up in Germany. And then the Lions, you know, December 30th, the Lions may not have much to play for either. It's a home game for the Cowboys. And, of course, finally then the Commanders, which will be a an awful way to end the season for the Commanders. I just think, you know, he's confident. He's not being asked to do anything that he has that's beyond him. You know, he's just really settled in. And again, it helps his confidence with some of the teams he's played.
Well, he is playing with a lot of confidence at an extremely high level. Is this perhaps the best we've ever seen him play? And Cindy, also, does he belong in that MVP discussion? Because what a bounce back season for Dak Prescott.
Oh, I think he absolutely does at the moment. Now, of course, they don't, you know, pick the MVP on December 10th. He's in the conversation. I mean, so is Brock Purdy. And any number of others. I mean, Tua, you could put Tua Tagovailoa in there. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, there are probably a half dozen. And it's probably always going to be a quarterback because that's the most important position on the team. But the guy that handles the ball on every offensive snap. I just think that probably, why would he not be in the conversation right now? I mean, you know, Jalen Hurts certainly would be as well right now.
Yeah. Philadelphia, Dallas, 8:20 kickoff tomorrow. Looking forward to the big game. And, of course, the Eagles, they have not won in Dallas since 2017. The Cowboys, they got to hold their ground at home, and they've certainly got to take care of business. We were just talking about Mike McCarthy, head coach, and he had surgery earlier this week and right before the biggest game of the regular season against the Eagles. So how do you think that has impacted preparation?
Well, then we saw Joe Burrow have an appendectomy, a year ago that sidelined him right before the start of the season. And it took him a long time to bounce back. Now, he had an infection. He had all sorts of complications afterwards. And a lot more is required of him than will be required of Mike McCarthy standing on the sideline with a headset on.
Yeah.
But, it's not ideal timing, that's certainly for sure. He missed, Wednesday, the first day of really planning for the upcoming game. So that's not ideal. On the other hand, you've got experienced people there. You've got experienced people in the building. So that doesn't really concern me too much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I ask you about, as far as his absence, how that impacted their preparation. But, you know, what comes to my mind, Cindy, is this could really motivate the players, and they want to win for their head coach.
Yeah, and I think, you know, certainly the past history is on their shoulders. You know, they know what happens to the Cowboys this time of year, and that matters to them. You know, they want to get that. They want to get that off their back.
Yeah. Hey, Washington Post, Cindy Boren with us at Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. We don't want to get too far into this interview. Connect with us. We're on social media as well, at eRadio Sports. You can download our app for all the latest sporting news and developing stories. That is Sports Map Radio. And go to podcastarena.com for each and every one of our interviews. We have focused our attention heavily on the Cowboys. Pivot talks more about the Eagles. And what in the world happened last week with the 49ers? They certainly exposed them. What was that defensive game plan with San Francisco, and what did it reveal about Philadelphia?
Well, it was a little bit surprising to me because I've seen San Francisco fly east, and you know, even with good teams, and just kind of lay an egg. But you know, I think you have to realize the Eagles had played three games in 13 days. They played a tough stretch of games.
Yeah.
Right in a row, including 92 snaps, I think, against Buffalo in the overtime game. So I think, you know, they had to have been gassed. They absolutely had to have been somewhat gassed. But, you know, that's not taking anything away from what the 49ers did, which just, you know, they came in and steamrolled them on a rainy day in Philadelphia when they were pooped. They'll be better this week.
Yeah.
That's for sure. They can't help but be better this week. But, you know, they are somewhat a little fatigued.
What about Jalen Hurts? He certainly has his ups and downs this season, but they are 10-2. And guess what? Everybody's entitled to having a bad day or having a bad game, right?
No.
I mean, Cindy, is the criticism that he's receiving, is that justifiable?
No, he's had some injuries. He won't talk about them. And, you know, we probably won't know until the season's over exactly you know, exactly what's going on there. You know, let's face it, this is a guy that came very close to winning the Super Bowl. I just think they're, you know, they lost Lane Johnson last week. That was a problem. You know, they need that offense, that offensive line for him to succeed. And they were pooped too. You know, they were gassed. But, you know, I mean, Hurts is playing well. He's hurt.
The countdown is on. Philadelphia, Dallas tomorrow, 8:20 kickoff. We've been going one-on-one from the Washington Post. And that is Cindy Bourne. Give her a follow on X or Twitter at Cindy Bourne. Always posting some great stuff. Thanks so much for carving out time. And we look forward to catching up with you in the brand new year. It's almost here, Cindy.
I know. Thanks so much.
You bet. Stick around. Much more coming your way here at Sports Map Radio Network. We will be right back here in Hour 2.
You're listening to the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the Sports Map Radio Studios, here's Elissa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, welcome back. Hour 2, Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. Always love to connect with our audience at eRadio Sports. You can email the show. We always love guest ideas. info@eradiosports.com, podcastarena.com. Download our app for all the latest sporting news, all the developing stories. That is Sports Map Radio, and of course, powered by Progressive Insurance. And round out your protection for life, phone, and pet health insurance. Think Progressive. Progressive.com. It is week 14, packed with high-profile games and major playoff implications. We have already highlighted extensively the Cowboys and the Eagles. Countdown's on for that big matchup tomorrow night to determine the NFC East spot. But right now, we're going to focus our attention on the Jaguars. They are on the road to face Cleveland, and we are thrilled to have back with us. And that is Andy McNamara, fantasy sports host with Topham Sports. Hello, Andy.
Hello, Alyssa. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. I'm just wondering how you're doing, because the Browns have lost back-to-back games after reeling off three straight wins. So what is the biggest problem facing the Browns right now?
Well, the injuries have caught up to the defense over those past two games. Now, the good news side for the Browns is they are getting healthier on that side of the ball. Pro Bowl cornerback Denzel Ward is back. He's ready. This is a true shutdown corner. Myles Garrett saying that shoulder injury looks to be behind him. So if that's the case, you have literally two $100 million contract guys back on the field for you. So that is huge. The other factor, of course, is quarterback. And the Browns are on QB number four, Alyssa. Number four,
wow.
Looking to be the first team since the 2015 Houston Texans to win a game with four different quarterbacks in the same season, and they have 38-year-old Joe Flacco trying to do that for them.
Well, both these teams, they have been hit really hard when you talk about the Jaguars and the Browns as far as with injuries, but who has more at stake this weekend between these two?
I think it's the Browns because, you know, it is a big game for both, so you can make the argument either way, but for me, it's the Browns because that log jam for the wild card in the AFC, it's tight. It's tight. Like for the Jaguars, they are still in control of the AFC South. For now, Houston's knocking on the door, but it's going to come down to tiebreakers, and it's going to come down to AFC tiebreakers to get into the wild card. I think the division is out of reach for Cleveland to catch Baltimore, so that means you're going to need a wild card spot, and you're going to have to win those tiebreakers, and that comes down to AFC matchups. So this is a huge game because the Jags are in the AFC. So Browns are 3-point favorites right now. The over-under set at 32.5, so it's expected to be lower. Weather, as we know, Alyssa, this time of year, weather
That's
is a
right.
factor. It's supposed to be wet, cold, and around 50 degrees, which, you know, for Florida teams isn't the best way to travel in.
And, of course, the Browns, they find themselves in a little bit of a precarious situation after back-to-back road losses.
Mm-hmm.
What did you learn from those losses against the Broncos and the Rams?
It's tricky because the defense has been so unstoppable at home, but on the road, they've been average, if not a bit below average. So I want to see how they respond. My takeaway from those games was, okay, did the defense get figured out? Jim Schwartz's defense, has it been figured out? And how do they reply? How do they respond at home with themselves now being healthier, with them being at home on friendly grounds after a long road trip? This is a big game to show, because if this Browns team wants to make the playoffs, as well as Joe Flacco played in his return off the couch, it's going to be the defense that needs to carry this team to the finish line, because you don't want to be putting too much on the arm of Joe Flacco right now.
Well, and you know, when we think about the Browns, I mean, I'm just wondering, as I look ahead to their schedule, I mean, can they make a run in the last five games of the regular season to make a playoff appearance? That's the first time since 2020?
Yeah, since our buddy Baker took him.
Oh, there you go, Boomer.
Our buddy Baker. Boomer. Baker beat the Steelers in the last game, beat the Steelers again in Pittsburgh. Oh, I still, Alyssa, no joke to your listeners, I legit still have on my phone, if ever I'm feeling a little down, I have the gif of the close-up the NFL took of Ben Roethlisberger having a tear go down his face after the Browns eliminated him.
Wow.
On my phone. Feel good. It's petty, but
of course you would.
But we look at the last bunch of games. So Jaguars again, AFC matchup. You got to win this one. Then you get to 8-5. Then you have the Bears. Bears aren't any good. We know that. That again is at home. At the Texans, beginning of the year, looked like an easy game. Now with C.J. Stroud, not so much. You got the Jets, they stink, and then you finish with Cincinnati, which is interesting. Jake Browning really lit up last time he was out there. Was that a one-off? How did the Bengals look? So, to me, you got to pretty much have this thing wrapped up before you have to go into Cincinnati on the last week of the regular season.
Well, let's talk some about, as far as Cleveland's defense, because they're allowing the fewest yards per play at home by any team since, what, the 74 Steelers. So what's been the key there? Who or what?
Well, the key has been not having to rely solely on Myles Garrett, which the Browns have pretty much had to try to do since he came into the league in 2017. It was all Garrett, and then he would get tired because, you know, he's on the field being double teamed and beat up so much. But the key has been rotation for Jim Schwartz. It's been coming in waves. It's been interior defensive line penetration with the likes of Dalvin Tomlinson, and Shelby Harris has been really good. So Darius Smith doesn't have the sack numbers, but he's disruptive. So really, it's that front four, the rotation there, and being creative. Alyssa, it's not just, look, you're not just putting Myles Garrett on the one end. You can see Miles in the middle, other side. But the mixing and matching, that has been the key. But the big part that allows them to do that and not have to blitz is the shutdown corners. And the shutdown corner, the main guy has been Denzel Ward, and he's been out the last two games. I don't think that's a coincidence why this defense has looked a whole lot different the last two games when Denzel Ward has been missing. We'll see if he's back 100% on Sunday and can make a difference.
Andy McNamara, National Fantasy Sports host. Give him a follow on social media, X at AndyMC81. Let's move ahead. Big game tomorrow. Buffalo is on the road in Kansas City, 4:25 kickoff. And just kind of give us the pulse as far as with the Bills. I mean, do you trust Josh Allen to save their season?
Oh, boy. This is a huge game because I think we're so used to just the Chiefs like, the Chiefs are great and they're just going to do what they want. The Chiefs lead the NFL in drop passes, okay? That's a fact. They lead the league in drop passes.
Wow.
So this is a game where they've lost three out of their last four, right? Like this, or sorry, that's the Bills, lost three out of their last four. So when you're Buffalo now, you're looking at Kansas City in KC. What a statement you can make if you beat the Chiefs, and they are beatable. The problem with Buffalo has been, they've been gashed on defensive injuries. Like, you can't lose a guy like Milano. You can't lose the personnel that they have and expect to keep rolling. It has been quite surprising, though, how Josh Allen has kind of collapsed a bit. Like, is it just that he's trying to do too much? Does he really miss Brian Daboll that much? It's interesting. This is going to be a statement game because Bills are 6-6. You're right on the cusp here. You win, you're right in that conversation, in that little in-the-hunt graphic that they put up on TV. You're there. You lose, you fall to under 500. And what would become a real possibility, and probably realistic, is that the Bills could miss the playoffs, which, Alyssa, I don't know about you, that seemed like something that was impossible.
Right.
We were
coming into the
going
season.
Into the year.
Yeah. And, you know, well, the thing, too, is on a positive note, Josh Allen, from what I understand, he actually plays well at Arrowhead Stadium. But let's talk about the Chiefs, because this is a must-win for them. And you touched on it. I mean, why are they vulnerable right now?
You know what? I was thinking about this. And I believe that they grossly underestimated the value of Tyreek Hill. Right? And look, I'm guilty of it too. Mm-hmm. Because the Chiefs and Mahomes and Kelce, you know, were so good. It just seemed like, okay, we traded Tyreek Hill. Yeah, we'll just make another Tyreek Hill. We got Patrick Mahomes. No problem. We'll just make another Tyreek Hill. Well, that has proven so untrue. It has been a fact. Like, you can talk further from the truth. It's pretty much Travis Kelce. And look at the other guys. Look at who you have, just a bunch of guys, and they're all dropping the ball. and they're all dropping it. And so now what teams can do is you can double Kelsey. Kelsey's going to get his, but you can try to contain him to a degree. What I've liked, though, is Isaiah Pacheco being able to be used more. Now, saying that, unfortunately for the Chiefs, if you're a Chiefs fan, Isaiah Pacheco has been ruled out with a shoulder injury. So this is going to be a big boon for Buffalo. If you can force Mahomes, if you can shut down what running game they have left, and it's just a committee, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, you know, you got a bunch of guys there. If you can force Mahomes to throw, which sounds nuts that the strategy would be forcing to throw this multiple-time MVP, with all the drop passes, if you can force him to throw, shut down the run, contain Kelsey as much as you can, you can win this game on Sunday.
Hey, we are winding down our time. Andy McNamara, give him a follow on social media at AndyMC81. National Fantasy Football host does an amazing job. Topham Sports. My final question for you: you have to weigh in on the big game with the Eagles and the Cowboys. Oh. Who has the edge tomorrow night?
Oh my gosh, I'm so looking forward to this. Like this is great. This really okay. So if you're a Cowboys fan, what have you been hearing all year? Cowboys can win against the average teams, the below average teams. They can't win the big one. They've heard it. If we're hearing it, they're hearing it. You can't win the big one. You can't beat the elite teams. Well, they don't come much more elite than the Eagles, who, by the way, are pretty PO'd that they got their butts handed to them and embarrassed by the 49ers, right? Like, smacked down. And you are going into the big D. You're going to cowboy country. It's just going to be a case where we're really going to see where this division is at. Because, you know, if the Cowboys lose, they're still going to make the playoffs. But then that narrative will hang over them the rest of the year, and rightfully so. But if they win, now all of a sudden, you're tied for the division, and it's a whole new conversation. I'm hoping the Cowboys win, because that just makes things a whole lot more interesting.
8:20 kickoff tomorrow night at Cowboys Stadium. It's going to be a lot of fun. Always appreciate when he drops by, and that is Andy McNamara, National Fantasy Football host, Topham Sports. Give him a follow on social media, at AndyMC81. You have a Merry Christmas, and we look forward to more conversations in 2024. You're the best, Andy.
Oh, can't wait to listen. Thank you. Merry Christmas to you and all the listeners.
You bet. Stick around. Much more coming your way. Sports Map Radio Network.
You're listening to the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the Sports Map Radio studios, here's Elissa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, Elissa Walker-Campbell. Welcome back. Hour one, Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. Mark it down. Join us every Saturday, 3 to 5 Eastern Time. Of course, powered by our good friends at Progressive Insurance. Bundle home, auto, and save. Visit progressive.com. Week 14, it is underway. And this weekend, we have got some massive matchups from a playoff perspective, especially when you talk about the Cowboys and the Eagles. Looking forward to the big game on Sunday night in Arlington. And always thrilled to have back with us Tony Casillas, two-time Super Bowl winner with the Cowboys, played in the NFL for 12 years. He is in the College Football Hall of Fame, and of course, he played for the mighty Oklahoma Sooners. Hi, Tony. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. Always awesome to have the opportunity to catch up, and we love talking about the Cowboys, but let's reflect on the Sooners season, and they are vastly improved from a year ago, finished 10-2, 7-2 in Big 12 conference play, and of course, headed to San Antonio for the Alamo Bowl to face Arizona. So, when we step back and we've had a chance to kind of, you know, digest all of this, how the season played out, what did you learn about the 2023 edition of the Oklahoma Sooners?
Well, obviously, it was a huge improvement from last year. Yeah, you know, last year they were 6-7. This year they ended up 10-2. Had those two dud games versus Kansas and Oklahoma State. But all in all, I think they made huge strides. I think, you know, Brent Venables, this will be his third year as a head coach. Kind of got his feet wet as a head coach in college football. So I think there was some satisfaction there. I think there's more improvement to be had, especially going to the SEC. So that's kind of weird to say that they're going to be playing in the SEC going forward. But I think that, I was surprised that Dillon Gabriel had one more year. It seems like it's just been so ongoing. I saw him go to the senior, saying goodbye to the seniors. Next thing you know, he's transferred in the transfer portal. So, but obviously they got their guys, Jackson Arnold. But I think their defense was much improved, and I think that's kind of been the Achilles heel for them the past years. And really, when you look at all the different categories of what they did this year compared in the past, especially last year, just night and day. So. If I was going to give him a grade from obviously, you know, A to A, you know, a letter grade, I would probably say a B plus. Mm-hmm. But again, you know, I think they kind of digress a little bit after they play Texas because it was such a huge momentous game, so to speak. But I think that I think they're headed in the right direction. We'll find out the next year, and especially going to the SEC, that's going to be quite intriguing to watch how that unfolds.
You know, Tony, we opened up our program discussing the transfer portal and the movement that is taking place, and of course, quarterback Dylan Gabriel, as you just talked about, and just the reaction to the news. But are you surprised by the amount of quarterbacks that are looking to transfer? Not just at Oklahoma, we've seen it at Ohio State, even Duke.
Well, I think it's fascinating, and once you start kind of unwrapping it and just kind of looking the reason and you know, why players are moving, especially quarterbacks. I think for Dylan Gabriel and certainly the kid from Ohio State, I don't know if they had the skill set to play in NFL. So why not? Why not play as long as you can in college football now because these guys are getting paid through the NIL. So, you know, I think I was just surprised because it just seems like there's not a cap. Guys are staying. They had the COVID year. And so you really don't – you think there's a ceiling, but it's not. But I think it just comes down to these guys being able to monetize their play in college football because there's no guarantees that these guys are going to go into the NFL and make millions of dollars. And why not do it as long as you can in the college football? I mean, that's kind of the platform right now. And quite honestly, I don't blame them, but it seems to me that these guys have been playing in college football forever. And it's fascinating to see how many times these guys are allowed to transfer from team to team, but ultimately it just comes down to the money.
Yeah. Two-time Super Bowl winner, College Football Hall of Famer, the great Tony Casillas with us this afternoon at Sports Map Radio Network. And so I got to ask you, I mean, are you a fan of the transfer portal? Because it just seems like a massive game of musical chairs, and perhaps it does need to have some restrictions on it, or maybe it doesn't. I mean, what do you think?
Well, I think at first, I think I was all for it. I think it's definitely hard to have any consistency. I think that it gives teams an opportunity that teams that aren't the big, you know, part of the big top, the powerhouse, the five, you know, the SEC, these teams that, you know, are used to, the familiarity with them winning is their brand. So, I think now after everything is kind of settled, there's not really, it's kind of like this wild, wild west. I don't know if you feel the same way, but mm-hmm. There's not really you can identify the rules because it seems like no one really knows. I think if you really just kind of look at it and see where it's at, I think it's difficult. Unless you can have a coach that can get guys that have already had experience. I think it all comes down to experience also. It's not, you know, freshmen coming out where you have to get them acclimated to the college level type of football. And, you know, what it takes to be a college athlete. Now you get guys that have had experience. I mean, that's like the NFL. It's a free agent. A guy's been in the league a couple of years, decides he's going to, you know, they don't, you know, they release him or, you know, he's moving on to try to make more money. I think that's kind of the way it is. So I think in a way it helps some schools that maybe couldn't be competitive because they do get these instant kind of seasoned players, especially when it comes to a quarterback or a skill guy or pretty much across the board. It gives them added experience. Is it something that's got out of hand? Yeah, I think it has. But I think it's really changed the landscape of college football. And I think they do need to find some common ground and really just kind of identify, you know, allowing guys maybe just to transfer once or it seems like it's multiple times. And I think they're going to have to sift their way through that to see what is consistent. But wow, I mean, it's amazing. You see all these guys all of a sudden in the transfer portal. And there's a guy from at Ohio, you know, there's guys that, you know, playing in the college football playoffs and they decide that they want to move, you know, and go in the transfer portal. I saw that with Texas. I saw that with other teams. You saw it. And yeah. It's just, it's crazy.
Yeah. NFL alum, two-time Super Bowl winner Tony Casillas with us at Sports Map Radio. And so let's talk some NFL and the big matchup on Sunday night with your former team. 8:20 Eastern time, we talk about the Cowboys and the Eagles. How do you see this one playing out, and will Dallas tie Philadelphia for first place in the NFC East?
Well, if you look at what Dallas has done at home, they're pretty much unbeatable since the first or second week of 2022. So I think it's going to be a tremendous, tremendous matchup. I'm just blown away what San Francisco did to Philly on the road. Just destroy them. I mean, I'm trying to think of a way to describe it, but really it's just overmatched. And so I think that Dallas, I don't think whichever team loses or wins, it's not going to be end of the world because there's so much other football to be had. And I think around here, yes, it would be great to, you know, as far as playoffs and everything that goes along with the NFC East, I think there's a lot to be said for that. But I mean, this game right here, these guys don't need any incentive to get up for this game. And it's the Eagles or Dallas. There's a lot, you know, a lot riding on it. It's an NFC East opponent that you hate. The crowd's going to be crazy here in Dallas. And
yeah.
It's gonna blow away a lot of TV ratings. I know that for sure. But I think Dallas is trending in the right direction. I think their offense is playing very well. Their quarterback is really leading this team. I think their offensive line is better. They probably don't run the football as much as they want to, but you know, when you can throw the ball and have explosive plays like they've had, then that's not a problem. But it's just going to be a true test against the Eagles. The Eagles are going to come in. They're going to be mad. And what happened to them against San Francisco, and it is the Cowboys. So I expect a close game.
Well, I was going to say, let's talk about Dallas's offense because they're averaging 42 points over the last four games. I mean, do you expect them to post that kind of production against the Eagles' defense?
Well, I didn't think the 49ers could do that to them. But 49ers are unique. I think they're the best team in the NFL right now, without a doubt. They're so explosive. And does Dallas have the playmakers to put up points against the Eagles? Yeah, I just think that, you know, them not able to run the ball as much and really just didn't have that guy that puts his foot on the ground. You know, I think Tony Pollard thought he was a guy, but I think if they get in a situation where they get up like they have against opponents, their defense has been so suffocating. They've made so many big plays. Deron Bland is just playing out of his mind. I think they'll have a chance, and that's the key is to, you know, for Dallas to get out on top like they've done in these games that they've really blown opponents out. But I just kind of want to cautious everyone that, you know, you look at Dallas's record, they really haven't beat anyone that's credible. I mean, above 500, and I'm not saying anything against what they've done, but we'll see how good they are against the Eagles team. As I mentioned, they're going to be upset. Angry, what happened to against the 49ers.
Yeah.
It should be a heck of a game.
Our NFL news and notes continues with Tony Casillas after this quick break.
You're listening to the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the Sports Map Radio studios, here's Elissa Walker Campbell.
Hey, welcome back. Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. Right now, let's go back inside the huddle with Tony Casillas. I got to ask you, why are we seeing a more confident Dak Prescott? What has changed?
I think Mike McCarthy has kind of forged this relationship. You know, I think that when you look at what he has done, he's put him in a situation to make plays and create confidence and really just his ability to not worry about making mistakes. I think sometimes as a quarterback, you're so guarded against making the bad throw or making a mistake. And I think he just plays freely. I think he plays with a tremendous amount of confidence. And to play that position, let's say you have to be overconfident. You have to be confident. You have to have this aura. You can't worry about, you know, the mistakes you're going to make. And really, I think that's really what he's been able to generate. I think CeeDee Lamb and you know, some of the guys, you know, have been using their tight end. They've been, you know, he's been putting the ball all over the place. And when CeeDee gets the ball, he's just been an explosive playmaker. And I think their offensive line has done a pretty good job of protecting Dak. Tyron Smith is healthy. So they've given him enough time to make throws. And And I think you're just seeing this development and, you know, this seasoned quarterback that's playing with a high amount of confidence.
Well, in your mind, who is the NFL MVP right now? You give it to Dak or Brock Purdy? I mean, they're tied for the best odds to win.
Now, I don't know. The Brock Purdy story is fascinating.
It is.
To think that he was the last player picked in a draft, and you just watch that guy, and you're like, has that guy only been in the league 2 years?
Yeah.
I mean, he's just making, and he's so concise, and, you know, he kind of reminds me of someone like a Peyton Manning or someone like that. When he throws the ball, it's going to be on target, and he's not going to make mistakes. But I don't know. I think it's going to go down to this next month, you know, December, and what these guys do in January that really determines the outcome of that. And, you know, to your point about this, how big this game is, if he goes out there and outplays Jalen Hurts and just goes out there and balls out, I mean, he can make a heck of a statement for being MVP. So hoping that that's the case. But, you know, right now I think that, I don't know, Purdy, Dak, he's definitely in the top five quarterbacks in the National Football League, without a doubt.
Hey, weigh in on the Eagles and what happened last week against the 49ers. I mean, there's a lot of criticism about them being blown out. I mean, is that deserved?
Well, I think when you get blown out like that.
42-19, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty, and really it wasn't. So when you watch that game, you watch the first drive, and it's like, you know, they go out there and just dominate on offense and defense, and like, wow.
Right.
You know, this is, they're good. And then all of a sudden, the 49ers said, no, no, no. And they flipped the script. And next thing you know it, they have explosive plays one after another. And then they make adjustments, and their defense is so good, man. You look at their linebackers or defensive line, and, you know, they just play with this attitude. And that's what I like to see, like Dallas, and, you know, to play with a little attitude, you know, like you know, a big boulder on your shoulder. But I mean, that's what they do. And so I was surprised that they didn't match that physicality or response. And they just kept punching and punching. And next thing you know, they're knocking them out. And I think for any team, you play a team like the 49ers, you don't necessarily have to run the ball in every game, but I think in that game, to slow it down and to really just say, we're just going to, you know, go toe-to-toe, you got to be able to have the capacity to run the football. That's kind of a message that's called, you know, imposing your will and really just saying, look, we're going to try to dictate it. But the 49ers, they were all over them. So can they do that? I know they can. I mean, DeAndre Swift is a tremendous running back. You know, they got a good offensive line. But, you know, I think I was surprised at how their defense just was a non-factor. They just couldn't get off the field. And that's because, you know, the 49ers could run the ball. So we'll see if they adjust and make changes and rectify that against the Dallas. I'm hoping they don't. Hope they play like they did against the 49ers and Dallas plays up. But we will see. Like I said, the best thing about it is, like, you hate when you get blown out like that. It's embarrassing. You know, that's not us. So let's go on to the next opponent and let's cure that. And by curing that, you go on the road and beat a team like Dallas, and that's the way you get back that moxie and that confidence.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how the Eagles react and respond to this adversity. Tony Casillas with us a few more minutes, NFL alum, 12 years in the NFL, two-time Super Bowl winner, College Football Hall of Fame, won a national championship, and was a standout at the University of Oklahoma, of course, a Lombardi Award winner, and Hall of Famer Barry Switzer called you perhaps the greatest Sooner defensive lineman ever. And I just have to wonder, you know, we talk a lot about confidence. You're talking about Dak, why he's playing so much better. Where did that passion, that confidence come from during your early years in playing, Tony?
Well, I think the game becomes a lot slower and you get more confident and you figure it out. And I think whenever you're able to get to a place like that and slow everything down, because as you transition to the NFL, things just happen so fast that the speed of the game is totally different. And I think some teams, you know, some players adapt to it differently. It just depends how the individual is. But I think that's in anything that you do. It's all about the familiarity with it, understanding it, the knowledge. I think football is just not, people look at it, it's a gladiator sport, but it's, you know, as you get into the game, it's more, you know, it's more your football IQ, and it's more mental to understand your opponents. And so the game, instead of the game comes to you, instead of you trying to take the game yourself to the game, and once you get into that, in that position, it just makes everything easier. And, you know, you process things differently. You see things differently. You know, you do your research. You watch more film. You study the opponent. And I think for quarterbacks, certainly, you have to have the ability to process all that. And I think it's just processing all the information and making it easier, and really where it's just all reaction. It's not this anxiety. It's not this, you know, to make a decision. It's impulse. It's, you're confident. You know what to do. And next thing you know, it's like, wow, this is fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good stuff. Hey, we are up against the clock. Tony Casillas, NFL alum, 12 years with Atlanta, Dallas, and the Jets. He's a College Football Hall of Famer and, of course, played college ball at the University of Oklahoma. We don't want to let you get away. You've got to connect with our audience. Where can they go and find your podcast and all your good stuff that you've got online, Tony?
Well, you know, you can follow me on Twitter, TC Casillas, and then obviously, or Twitter, X, I'm sorry.
Yes. Everyone has it. It's all good. I do the same thing, yes.
Elon Musk or whatever it is.
That's right, the big
one. And you can go over, yeah, and you can go over to Instagram, Tony Casillas, and you can find a lot of content there. And I have some podcasts as archived on the YouTube channel. You can just do a search, Tony Casillas Show. Got about 18 shows I've done in the last couple of years. So, yeah, you can check me out there. You can find me.
Hey, well, enjoy the game tomorrow night. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays to you and your family. We look forward to another conversation in the new year. Thank you so much, Tony.
You too, as always.
A big thank you to all of our guests and our lineup. We'll see you next weekend for the biggest, the best in sports, the Big E Sports Show. So long, everybody. Don't drink and drive.